Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher Podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where your dreams can find a voice. Whether you're single or in a relationship, it's important to cultivate a healthy relationship with yourself and live a life that's in alignment with your values and your purpose. But our culture seems to downplay this relationship with ourselves and glorifies coupledom instead. Today's featured guest, John Kim, says that being single doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you or that you should feel sad and lonely. Is actually an amazing opportunity for self-discovery and connecting with your passion. John Kim, also known as the Angry Therapist, is a licensed marriage family therapist and an author. John's path has led him to become a pioneer in the field of self-help, humanizing the therapist by showing himself. He created the Catalyst Life Coaching course and a new platform called Shift, an app that gives people support in their pocket when they need it. In this interview, John offers an empowering perspective on singledom that challenges social stigma and explains how we can make the most of this phase in our life. Regardless of your relationship status, you'll find value in his advice and you'll learn how to reconnect with your spirit so that you can live a fuller, richer, and fulfilling life that honors your needs. And if you enjoyed what you heard, please do subscribe to the channel, rate, and share this podcast. Hey, John. Thank you so much for making the time to be here on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. And we are experiencing rain today, and I feel like a little kid that wants to go out in the streets and dance because we never don't get rain in Los Angeles, as you know.
We don't. Yeah, and the thunderstorms and everything. People are freaking out.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I absolutely love the rain. I grew up in Dubai, and we have sunshine all the time. We rarely get rain. So when it happens, it's like, wow.
Right, right. I think it's a lot like people in the mountains when they first get snow and they're out, you know, snowboarding and playing around. It feels like that with rain in Los Angeles.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I don't think we get snow out here, right?
No. But also, you know, we love the rain, but we can't handle it. People go crazy. It's like they can't drive. It's a whole like disaster. And it's just sprinkling outside.
Yeah, I know. And people in Florida are like, okay.
Right.
What are you on about? All right, so I had the opportunity to read your book, Single on Purpose.
Cool.
Love the title, by the way. And another reason why I love it is because it really affirms a lot of the things I believe in when it comes to feeling empowered just on your own. Regardless of our relationship status. So I'm really looking forward to diving deep into some of the concepts that you cover in this book.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So let's start out by talking about your story and the inspiration behind your book. Tell us about the life events that led you to write this book.
Yeah, so it was a combination of both personal and professional. So personally, I got a divorce at about 35 and I went on my, as we call it, eat, pray, love journey, except it wasn't in Italy. I didn't, you know, find God and have a really romantic affairs and all that. I was in Los Angeles and I, found myself through barbells and motorcycles and, donuts. I was single for about 4 years and I just kind of, started to look inward and I tried to connect back to who I used to be before the marriage, you know? And yeah, that was the beginning of everything. So that was personal. And then professionally, as a therapist, I was new at the time. I realized that a lot of my clients, mostly women in their 30s, were just down and frustrated and feeling hopelessness because they were single. And, you know, the dating landscape was toxic and, like, you know, the apps and all that. And I just felt like, why can't being single be a good thing? Why is it so negative? And why are people tying it to their worth?
Yeah, I agree. And I think the reason why women in particular are concerned about being single in their 30s is because, you know, the proverbial clock.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah. I mean, if they want kids.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's better now because women are having kids later in life and all of that, but it's still.
They're freezing their eggs.
yes. But it's still so baked in. And I think it's not just that, but I think, like, because of advertising and movies and old love blueprints and also things that are passed down from our parents, the ticking clock isn't just for having children. It's like when we're single, we're scrambling to find someone because if we stay single for too long, it means that we're, you know, defective or worth less or whatever it is.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, why are single people looked down in society? I mean, I never understood that. I mean, sometimes they're even considered outcasts. And I grew up in the Indian culture. And over there, it's like, if you're not married by the time you're 30,
right,
you are in trouble, or, you know, you're just put in a different category altogether. So that is like some heavy cultural conditioning that women in, you know, in my culture go through. So that adds on to the existing layer that society, just Western society, places on.
Yeah. Isn't arranged marriages a big thing? Isn't that kind of the norm in India, or no?
Not for all of them. It's more for in conservative families, and not all families are conservative. Like, my family's not conservative. So
if you're over 30 in that culture and you're single, then as you get older, do you become less attractive to the world, or, you know, society, or, you know, yourself?
Let's just put it this way. Your market value goes down.
Yeah, that's right. So you're worth less, right?
Yeah.
So culture plays a huge part in this, you know?
Yeah. I don't know what culture you come from, but
I'm Korean, but I came here when I was three. But there is that pressure from my parents, who are old school. Because I know when I got a divorce, they're like, okay, you need to find someone quick. You need to get married. You're getting older. You need to have kids.
Yeah,
you know, and they kind of saw it as, you know, me being the kid that got held back, you know. And I was like, no, I want to be by myself for a while. I want to go buy a motorcycle. I want to connect back to myself. And they didn't understand that, you know. And so they kept on trying to.
How old were you?
I was 35, and they were trying to hook me.
I mean, for a guy, that's.
It's not that bad. And for me, I feel like I was still a boy, and it was a huge turning point. But they kept on trying to hook me up with different Korean women constantly. And I was like, I don't, and they're telling people that
I love that you say in the book that you can't really understand yourself. You can't really evolve as a person if you don't get that me time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm grateful for that. And I'm not one of those people. It's like, I'd rather be alone than be in a miserable relationship with somebody. Mm-hmm. I'd rather wait it out.
Right.
It's, you know, like, some women are in a hurry. They'll just go for the first guy who seems okay. And, you know, I'd rather wait, you know?
Yeah.
I'm one of those people. So.
I mean, wouldn't you rather be alone and if you're feeling lonely than in a relationship and feeling lonely? I mean, that
exactly.
To me is worse. It's more sad.
Absolutely. When you see couples fighting and disagreeing and so many limitations, your freedom is curtailed when you are with the wrong person.
Right, right.
So it's like, what's the point? You have one life to live, you know? And if you're not going to do it with the right person, and I think it's pointless.
Yeah. Relationships are hard enough, you know? So if you're already starting with someone who you are lukewarm about, it's just, you're setting yourself up for, you know, hardship.
Right. And I love the fact that you talk about, you know, barbells, motorcycles, and donuts. I feel like that's a metaphor for, like, you know, just you can find yourself doing anything. You don't have to go on that eat, pray, love journey.
Right.
A lot of people are aspire to. It's like it's been romanticized.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not something I made up. It's something that was true. When I was 35 and after my divorce, I was broke. I had no money, left the divorce with nothing, just my pillow. It was a very expensive pillow, but that's all a Tempur-Pedic pillow. And she got the bed. So for me, I had to start all over. And yeah, it wasn't romantic. It wasn't, you know, fancy meals and massages. I was working in nonprofit in the world of addiction. And, you know, I was broke and eating ramyun and going through my rebirth. And I think what's important about that piece is that it doesn't matter where you're at in your life, you could still go on your singlehood journey, you know.
Right, right. And what do you suggest for those who are under this conditioning, who feel the pressure to find somebody?
Yeah, and I know that it's hard to ignore that noise, right? So whether it's coming from parents or social media or movies, you know, you can't just suddenly just put your hand over your ears and you know, pretend like you don't hear it. But I think what's important is your intention is to let that be other people's opinions and for you to focus on connecting to yourself. Because I think that when you're single, the growth soil is the richest. You know, when you get into a relationship, it's not about you anymore. And now you are in a dynamic, you're 50% of something. When you're single, you have all, you could do anything you want, you know? And so everything you wanted to do, everything that you didn't have time for, it doesn't matter if we're talking about, you know, the meals that you want eating out or taking art classes or picking up the guitar again, or, you know, for me, it was fitness and motorcycles. It doesn't matter what the activity is, but connecting to the spirit of you that you have locked away.
Yeah. And a lot of people feel disengaged from that part of them, that aliveness. You talk about this in the book. And when you're single, even if you're in a relationship, you can, it's important to find those opportunities and those activities that really make you come alive. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. And the irony is that it also makes you more attractive, you know? And I think that when you're busy focusing on what makes you come alive, what lights you up. And of course that is also, you know, your true north, it's going to lead to what you're passionate about, like everything, this kind of repositioning of your life. Mm-hmm. Then, because you're lit up, because you're now on a higher frequency, because you're not lying with desperation, you're going to be more attractive. You know, people are going to be looking at
you. Accept that, right?
The yeah, absolutely. It's a human thing. It's an energy thing. Mm-hmm. And, they're going to be like, I'll have what you're having. You know, there's a certain way that you walk into a room and carry yourself if you are building a better relationship with you, instead of coming in lying with desperation, seeking approval, validation. You know, if you like someone and you like really want them to like you, that's going to flip the magnet.
Yeah. And what about those people who, let's say they got married young or they had a high school sweetheart and they've not been with anybody and they never had time to themselves. They popped out three kids, you know, by 25, like what can they do?
And that is so common. And I get it, you know, it's the people out of high school, maybe even high school sweethearts who run toward the picket fence very fast, have kids, realize the fence has splinters, realize how hard it is to, you know, have a relationship, build a relationship. And then as their kids get older, they realize my all of my 20s, I never did anything. I was in this marriage or this relationship or raising a baby. And so your 20s is all about exploration and finding yourself and what you like and what you don't like. And if you skip that whole stage, then I think you have to go through your version of that so you can, you know, connect back to you, discover who you are, what you want. Many people, they miss that when they get married too fast, have children too fast. And that's just life. And I think especially in certain parts of the world, that's expected, you know, out of high school to get married quick and to have kids and all of that. And
Yep.
I think getting married later.
I know some women close to me, actually, like my relatives who got married.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think, and I don't know where you're at, but for me, if I had a kid at 20, 23, 19, oh my God, I would just be a bumbling idiot. I'd be a horrible parent. And then I would be angry.
Developed by that time. Only gets fully developed by the time you're, 21?
I had no idea, no sense of self, no discipline, I had no values. I was reactive. I was angry. I was unhappy. Like, that's not good positioning to be a parent, you know, or be a husband.
Yeah. But sometimes it's that social blueprint that forces people into settling down so early.
Yeah, and I think that's part of this book is to rip up that blueprint, right? Part of single on purpose, that word on purpose means no thank you. Like, I don't need to be with someone for the world to think that I'm more, you know, I'm okay by myself. And I don't know if there's ever been a time that we have given singlehood a cape. I don't know if there's ever been a time where media or anyone has said, listen, it's okay to be single. It's empowering to be single. You should stay single for a while.
Well, maybe during the women's lib movement,
when I think about movies and stuff, especially, you know, this idea that the happy ending always comes with finding someone or love or, you know, and that's not true.
I grew up watching Disney movies, John.
Right.
You know, those 90s with like Sleeping Beauty, The Little Mermaid, we all want to find our prince.
Yeah. And I think that programming, you know, we've soaked that into our subconscious, and that's why we are walking around with our love crossbows cocked, pointing at people and wanting so desperately to find love, you know, or the one. And it sets us up for a lot of disappointment and heartbreak. And those are a lot of those clients that came to me unhappy, and I was like, there's a problem here. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And that unhappiness comes from the fact that their expectations, their blueprint, their life does not meet their blueprint.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. That gap, you know, the blueprint of what they want and what they are lacking, that gap is what makes people unhappy. But there's a comparison, and I think we should stop comparing, you know, and we should throw away our blueprints instead. Get very present and start building the relationship with yourself, and a new blueprint will form from that.
Right. But let's look at it from the standpoint of emotions and our emotional needs. A lot of people during this time, singles in particular, are really feeling the whole social distancing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we shouldn't ignore that, you know. Yeah. I think loneliness.
As a single, whether you are being quarantined or not, like, how do you get those emotional needs met? Because they're there. We're human. Like, we can be all empowered and have stuff we can, you know, occupy ourselves with. But at the end of the day, we need to feel loved. We need to feel cared for. We need that connection. So what do single people do?
For me, I got it in communities. So if you're in fitness or yoga or, you know, whatever community based on an activity that you enjoy, there's going to be people there that are like-minded. So getting away from this idea that need is only provided by a romantic partner, you know, friendships are huge. When I got a divorce, instead of swiping, I made like 4 or 5 guy friends, and this is the first time in my life that we would sit down, have coffee and eat crepes and talk about our feelings. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing, you know? And so I discovered a side to myself, redefining what it means to be a man, and that it's okay to express your feelings and be sensitive and all of that, and eat crepes. And so I got a lot of emotional milk, if you will, from friendships, from communities. And that was enough. Now, it doesn't mean that I wasn't craving an intimate partner, right? This doesn't say single forever. It says single on purpose, meaning
now people can't really date. I mean, it's not safe to.
Right.
So, we're living in weird times. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be like this. It's going to be Zoom. It's going to be connection through telephone, connection through FaceTime, connection, you know, to whatever's comfortable for you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the only option, right? So to get your emotional needs met as a single, try to connect with a community, try to connect with friends who are like-minded.
Yeah, I think community, because I don't think we're meant to do life alone. And I think community is the fastest way. Because, you know, as we get older, we don't have the structure of, say, high school, where there's a social plug-and-play system where you just, you know, go to school and there's cliques and there's,
I do miss
that. Yeah, and I get that. That makes it easy. Yeah, summer camp and groups and all of that. So as adults, we have to find that. But it's the same process. You know, it's finding a community on or offline. And where you guys have something in common and getting involved and active in that community. And I think the community should hang on something that you're passionate about, right? And then the byproduct of that is engagement, authentic friendships. And a lot of times in these communities are how we meet our person or who we want to invest in, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not against dating apps either. It doesn't mean that you can't swipe. You just have to do it when you feel good about yourself and you're not allowing, you know, that to determine your worth, you know, or making you feel shitty.
I mean, with dating apps, you need a whole different set of skills, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. There are weirdos out there based on my.
Yeah. Yeah. And I I say use a very small spoon. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you go to like an ice cream store and they give you the little red spoon to taste.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they use dating apps, they get addicted because they're designed like the casinos in Vegas where you're pulling and you're seeing, you know, hope and you're just sitting there all day pulling, but we're swiping.
Yeah.
And we've become baseball cards. And so I think to use dating apps with a small spoon means to do it when you feel good about yourself, do it when you know that this is going to be more of a game, have fun, not depending on the app to find love for you. That's a lot of pressure and lots at stake if you do that, you know, go into it with that mindset.
Yeah. But right now that's our only option.
No, I don't think it's our only. I myself even have a dating app called Twirl and it's video only and it's no filters. Yeah. And it's
designed to Twirl.
And it's designed to for people to have conversations instead of just, you know, instantly judging people on photos that aren't even real.
Thanks to Photoshop or whatever they use, the filters.
Yeah. But, you know, people are meeting on dating apps and I'm sure there are, I know people who've gotten married and stuff like that. So I don't think it's all bad. I just think it's, use it as a tool, not as, you know, something that's going to, you know, define who you are, define your worth or your experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about those expectations and how, mm-hmm. How you use it. Because as you said, it can get addictive because it's so easy. You just, you know, you literally.
Oh, it's so addictive. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's also very addictive to see who swipes on you and to seek that, you know, that validation. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if you have no interest in building a relationship, if you get that, you know, whether it's a like or a swipe or whatever it is now, it's dopamine. It makes us feel like we're worthy or we're attractive, you know? And so we seek it all the time.
Yeah. A lot of people out there are window shopping on dating apps.
Yeah.
They might have a wife and kids.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think you have to really show up in an authentic way so you attract people who are willing to be honest and then filter out people who are not honest so you don't have a poor experience or you don't get catfished or whatever it is, you know. Because there are a lot of people who are just sending dick pics and wanting to use dating apps to sleep with other people, and which is fine if that's your thing. But if that's not what you want, it's crazy. The landscape is really crazy right now. It can be toxic, I think.
It can be toxic, and it can really, as you said, it can really lower people's self-esteem.
Yeah. And then what you do is you get so discouraged, you're just like, okay, I'm done. And I don't even like people anymore. Like you go from wanting to find love to like hating people. I'm just good with me and my cat, you know? And so we don't want that to happen.
Yeah, we don't. So So single on purpose is all about feeling empowered and kind of dating from a place of strength.
Yes.
And passion and courage and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And I think it starts with first wanting to build a better relationship with you. So everything hangs on that. And then from that, what does that look like? What are you doing? What's your mindset? What are the activities? Instead of saying to yourself, okay, I'm single. I need to find someone as fast as I can.
Yeah. You just got to shut that voice up that says, hey, you know, it's
time. Yeah. I mean, you got to tell yourself that when you do find someone who deserves you, you're going to bring more to the table, because right now is the time that you have for you, you know, because you are going to meet someone. And when you do, it could be tomorrow or it could be 3 years from now. But when you do, you're going to be like, oh, I wanted to do this, this, and this. I wanted to go here. I wanted to all these things. But now I'm in a relationship and, you know, I don't want to do those things anymore. It's like, well, you should have.
Yeah. Yeah. John, that was so great. Thank you so much for sharing your unique insights with us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I forgot to ask you one last question. Why do you call yourself the angry therapist? You don't seem angry to me.
No, I was angry in my 20s. Yeah. And I started a blog on Tumblr actually after my divorce when I was single. Okay. And I didn't think anyone would read it. I just called it the angry therapist. I thought it was funny that a therapist was angry, but now in looking back, I think it was my way of saying that I'm human, because, you know, therapists aren't supposed to show emotion. So that's kind of what I do.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like I kind of humanize myself by doing so.
Yeah, that's good, because usually therapists, they can seem kind of stoic, you know?
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the best place to find John and to purchase his book, Single on Purpose, is at his website, theangrytherapist.com. Anything else you'd like to add, John?
No, I'm just, if you believe that singlehood deserves a cape, then yeah, come help me spread the word. And let's try to redefine what it means to be single.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Thanks, John, and you have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much. Be well.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.